My name is Clem Rhys-Stein. I'm a senior product manager on the Visual Studio ALM marketing team. And in today's session, I'm going to dispel some of the myths around why you aren't already using Team Foundation Server. I'm going to show you how easy it is to get up and running with Team Foundation Server, how to migrate your source code from Visual SourceSafe to Team Foundation Server, and explore some of the additional capabilities, like setting up a continuous integration build, and how to manage and track your work items on your product backlog. So if you've been thinking about using Team Foundation Server, now is the time to check it out. Team Foundation Server is for everyone, regardless of your team size. Whether you're a team of 2,000 or two, or even a team of one. With Team Foundation Server, you can start with a basic configuration, like on top of SQL Server Express, and easily upgrade to SQL Server Standard or Enterprise Edition when your needs demand it. Starts with the features you need today and easily enable other features when you're ready. But before I get started, I want to make sure that our demos will work. So I'm going to take a minute to start the installation of Team Foundation Server. So over here on my Windows 7 laptop, you'll notice that I've just executed setup.exe off of the installation media, and it launched the Team Foundation Server installation wizard. I'll go ahead and accept the license terms, and I'll indicate which of the components that I want to install today. I'm going to select Team Foundation Server and Team Foundation Build Service. Go ahead and start the installation, and we'll come back to this in a minute. So if you're using Visual Studio, you should be using Team Foundation Server. It is the de facto source control management tool for Visual Studio. Visual SourceSafe was a great product, but for a different time and place. Since 2005, we've been developing the next generation in Team Foundation Server. It is the replacement for Visual SourceSafe, and now is the time to move forward. Now I know, you're going to tell me all of the reasons why you haven't upgraded to Team Foundation Server yet. Things like, it's too expensive, it's too complex, and it requires a server. And up until now you've been right. But with the release of Team Foundation Server 2010, all of those reasons have been eliminated. And let me tell you how. Let's do some myth busting and start with it's too expensive. Team Foundation Server is now included as an MSDN benefit with each of the Visual Studio client tools. Visual Studio Professional, Premium, and Ultimate, and even with the latest addition to our product family, Visual Studio Test Professional 2010. Each MSDN subscription allows for one production deployment of Team Foundation Server. And in addition, each MSDN subscription allows for one client access license. So if you don't have an MSDN subscription, you can purchase Team Foundation Server through a retailer for around $500 US. This allows for up to 5 users to connect to Team Foundation Server, and you can easily add additional users with client access licenses. How about complexity? With Team Foundation Server 2010, we've made a huge investment in the installation and configuration experience. We've introduced the notion of a basic configuration that's fast to configure, it's easy to use, and there are no requirements for SQL Server reporting services or Windows SharePoint services. As for the server, I'm sure you've noticed I started my installation on my Windows 7 laptop. We've added support for client operating systems such as Windows 7 and Windows Vista. Yet we scale to the largest teams. And we don't discriminate. Store everything you want inside Team Foundation Server and use tools like Eclipse and Team Explorer everywhere to get at your stuff. We've also added 64-bit support to support even the largest databases. So let's go back to my installation and I'll show you how easy it is to configure Team Foundation Server. Well, as we notice that the installation is just completed, I'll go ahead and launch the configuration wizard. And a couple of things I want to point out. On the left-hand side, we'll see that we have now have an option to choose between a basic configuration or an advanced configuration. We can select to install only the application tier or to upgrade from a previous version of Team Foundation Server. And lastly, we have the option to configure the Team Foundation Build Service. I'm going to select the basic configuration. And you'll notice that I'm being prompted here to specify a SQL Server instance that I want to use. Since I already have SQL Server Express installed from when I installed Visual Studio, I'm going to go ahead and accept that. It'll run a few verification steps to validate that my system is ready before it starts the configuration. And then we'll start the actual configuration. So depending on the speed of your processor and the amount of RAM you have available on your system, this configuration process only takes a few minutes to complete. The first thing it's going to do is to make sure that Internet Information Server is ready for us to use. Team Foundation Server uses IIS to host its web services and the team portal. These web services are used by clients like Team Explorer and Team Explorer Everywhere to connect and communicate with Team Foundation Server to do things like version control, work item tracking, and even build management. The team portal area is featured through the team web access feature and allows you to access your source code in read-only mode, your work items, and your builds via a web browser. After that is done, the configuration wizard will take care of setting up our server databases. And as I mentioned earlier, you can use and start on SQL Server Express and very easily upgrade it to SQL Server Standard or Enterprise Editions once you outgrow SQL Express. Then it's going to go ahead and configure our website for us, our team portal, so that I can use a web browser to access Team Foundation Server, and I can have read-only access to my source code, I can manage my work items, or check up on my build status. Then it's configuring our web services for us, and as I mentioned, both Team Explorer client that's built into Visual Studio and the Team Explorer Everywhere client that's used by Eclipse IDEs can communicate with Team Foundation Server. And lastly, the wizard will configure project collections for us. So all of your work, meaning your source code, your work items, and your builds, are all stored within the context of a team project. Team projects are grouped together into something called project collections. Project collections is something that can easily be moved between Team Foundation Server installations. And to get started with Team Foundation Server, you need to have at least one project collection defined, and within that, at least one team project. So what the wizard is doing for us, it's creating this initial project collection, so it makes it easy for us to get up and running and started easily using Visual Studio with Team Foundation Server. And we'll notice that we're almost at the end of this configuration. And once this completes, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and I'm going to configure the Team Foundation build service so that I can also demonstrate and show you how easy it is to configure continuous integration builds using Team Foundation Server 2010. And there we see we've just completed. And you'll notice that it gives us an update that we've completed with zero errors and zero warnings. And I'm going to configure the team build service. And at this point, the very first thing it's going to want to do is to see, do we at least have one project collection defined? The build service needs to attach to at least one project collection, and it should find the default project collection that was just created for us. I'll go ahead and accept some of these defaults. At this time, I'm going to accept the system account for the build service to run as. I can choose to pick a user account or change the port number if I wanted to. It's going to verify and validate that my system is ready to be configured. And then it will actually go ahead and install the Team Foundation build service. It will create a Windows group to handle build rights. It will register with Team Foundation Server and actually start the build service for us. Go ahead and close this down. You'll notice that when I closed the configuration wizard down, the Team Foundation Server Administration Console was automatically launched for me. This is the single place and the single user interface that I will use to configure all aspects of my Team Foundation Server installation and configuration. I'm going to close that down, and I'm going to start up Visual Studio. Remember that I said that the first thing I need to do is to create a team project. So I'm going to go in and create a new team project, and I'm immediately prompted to specify the Team Foundation Server instance I want to connect to and the project collection that this team project belongs to. I'm going to go ahead and call my team project Migrate, and I'll say that it's a project to store my migrated VSS code. I'll select the MSF for Agile Process Template. And at this point, the team project creation wizard will go off, and the very first thing it's doing is downloading some information from Team Foundation Server, mainly based around the process template that I've selected earlier in the steps. And based on the definitions within the process template, the wizard will create specific work item types for me. It will set up an environment where within my team project I have access to work items, builds, and to my source code. And you'll notice on the right-hand side in Team Explorer, I now have my new Migrate Team project that's associated with the default project collection. I also have nodes for work items, builds, and source control. I'll double-click on source control. And what you'll notice is that Visual Studio is telling me that Team Foundation Server isn't currently set as my source control plugin. It's very easy for me to change. I notice that it's still set to Visual Source Safe. I'll go ahead and change it over to Team Foundation Server. So at this point, I've installed and configured Team Foundation Server, and I have connected to it from Visual Studio. So I've just shown you how easy it is to install and configure Team Foundation Server 2010. In just a few minutes, we were able to install and configure Team Foundation Server so that we can start working immediately. Now, we all know change is hard, but moving your source code from Visual Source Safe to Team Foundation Server isn't. You can use the VSS converter that ships in the box with Team Foundation Server to easily migrate your Visual Source Safe repository to Team Foundation Server. It's a very simple command line tool, and you will need two very simple configuration files. A settings.xml file where you specify the source database, the target Team Foundation Server repository, and an optional usermap.xml that will map existing VSS users to more standard Windows accounts. Once you have your configuration files in place, you run a very simple command line instruction that will go ahead and process your VSS repository and move it to Team Foundation Server. The key thing to remember here is that when using Team Foundation Server and the VSS converter is that you have full control over how you migrate. And you have control over where you place your Visual Source Safe assets. You can choose to place them into one team project or into multiple team projects. So let's go back to the demo, and I'll show you how easy it is to migrate an existing Visual Source Safe database with some history to Team Foundation Server. So back over on my Windows 7 laptop, I'm going to fire up Visual Source Safe to take a look at the source code that I want to migrate. And you'll notice that I have a very simple application. It's got a class library and a WPF user interface. And I also have some history in my Visual Source Safe database that I want to retain. I'll go ahead and close this. I'm going to locate my VSS converter. And you'll notice that by default it gets installed in the program files x86, Microsoft Visual Studio 10, Common 7 IDE directory. And the next thing I'm going to need is a settings.xml file. And I've prepared one ahead of this demo. But what I thought I'd do is I'll give you a quick look inside so that you can see for yourself that it's a really simple configuration file. You'll notice that we have a source mapping where we'll tell Visual Source Safe converter which Visual Source Safe database to use. There's a destination mapping to tell the converter where inside Team Foundation Server to put this code. And then there's some information around Team Foundation Server, the instance name, and how to connect to it. Go ahead and close that down. I'm going to copy this file, and I'm going to paste it into the same directory as the VSS converter. I'm going to open up a command line, change directory to that directory, and to make it easy, I'm just going to copy and paste the path. Now you'll notice that the VSS converter takes two arguments on the command line, analyze to analyze the VSS repository and migrate to migrate the repository. So let's analyze our database just to make sure that we're all set and it's not corrupt. And it will process the database, and we'll see that it completed with one warning and zero errors. I feel good about that. So let's go ahead and migrate the database. It's prompting me. Am I absolutely sure? Yes, I'm sure. And now it will go off, it will process the Visual SourceSafe repository, and it will move it to Team Foundation Server. And you'll notice that that's completed with one warning and zero errors. So we'll go ahead and exit out of here. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to refresh my team project. And we'll notice that the source code, it was in Visual SourceSafe, is now in Team Foundation Server. But it's but at this point, you'll notice that it tells me up here that my local path is not mapped. Within Visual SourceSafe, we have the notion of a working folder, and within Team Foundation Server, that translates to a workspace. So I'm going to map this to a local workspace, and I'm just going to create a directory on my C drive that I'm going to call migrate. And I'm going to tell it to recursively map the source code and copy it to my workspace. What I can do at this point is open my solution. And the very last thing I need to do before I can start working on my solution is I need to tell the solution that I'm using Team Foundation Server for version control. This is very easy to do. All I'm doing is I'm going to bind my solution to Team Foundation Server. It's going to check the file out for me. And then the last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to check in my solution, and I'll say updated the bindings. I'll go ahead and check that into Team Foundation Server. So now I'm all set. I've got a solution that was inside of Visual SourceSafe that I've migrated to Team Foundation Server, and I can start using Team Foundation Server to manage all aspects of my solution. Before I leave the demo at this point, I thought I'd show you just some of the history that was brought across with the Visual SourceSafe migration. Now we'll notice we have a list of change sets. I'm going to pick the first one. And we'll notice that there are some history that's come across. There were some comments that were brought forward by the converter. And I'll contrast that to the check-in that I've just made when I updated the bindings, just to show you that my history is still intact. So I've just shown you how easy it is to migrate your source code from Visual SourceSafe to Team Foundation Server. And I hope you agree with me that that wasn't too tough at all. So what if you don't want to migrate? Let's say you want to enjoy that fresh new baby smell a little longer. You can use this opportunity now as a time to rethink your version control process. Maybe just migrate some of your code. You can do a get latest, maybe change the structure and then check it in. Or you can use the drag and drop add features. And if you're not on Visual SourceSafe, you can still migrate your code to Team Foundation Server. You can do something we call a tip migration, the tip of the iceberg, or a snapshot migration, where you do a get latest on your source code and add it to Team Foundation Server. Or if you really want to retain structure and history, then you can take a look up on CodePlex at the Team Foundation Server integration platform, or you can work with any number of our partners in our rich partner ecosystem. Team Foundation Server 2010 is state-of-the-art version control. You get state-of-the-art branching and merging. You get secure and robust version control and innovative new features like check-in policies. When using Team Foundation Server from Visual Studio, the user interface is friendly and familiar. All of the commands you expect are there and more. There are some great new features like shelving to make your life easier. And TFS out of the box may not work exactly like VSS, but you can tweak a few settings like concurrent checkout or get latest on checkout. But the bottom line is Team Foundation Server will work the way you want. All of the core source control features are supported, like add, check-in, checkout, get latest, get specific version, branch and merge, plus innovative features like the integrated check-in experience, shelving, branch and merge, visualization and tracking tools. And no matter where you're working from, Team Foundation Server has a client for you. I've just demonstrated the rich integration with Visual Studio. We also ship an in-the-box command line client, and you can download a power tool for Windows Shell integration. You can use Team Explorer everywhere to connect with Team Foundation Server from Eclipse-based IDEs. And in addition, we ship a MISCI provider that provides tons of support to other great clients like Visual Basic 6. So let's go work on some code, and I'll show you some of the source control features of Team Foundation Server. So back in Visual Studio, I'm going to open up a source file. And let's say that I wanted to start modifying my application by adding a method. I'm just going to copy this method and paste it. And at this point, I want to point out something. Over on the right here, you'll see that the moment that I started to modify this file, it was automatically checked out to me. I'm going to go ahead and paste this code and maybe just change this to subtract and change the implementation. And at this point, I may want to play around with this some more. I may want to do some testing. Or maybe it's time for me to go home. And I'm not sure. Should I check this in and maybe cause problems for my team members? Or should I risk it and leave it on my local machine? Or what if, sometime later from home, I want to work on this code, but I don't have this code on my laptop at home? So all of these issues have been addressed by a great new feature called shelving. Think of shelving as a way for you to package your pending changes into something called a shelf set, and then putting that shelf set on a shelf in Team Foundation Server where it gets backed up with everything else. You can then at any point later come back and get access to that shelf set and continue working, or members on your team with the appropriate security rights can also get access to the shelf set. So again, it's very easy for me to do. All I'm going to say is shelf pending changes, and I'm going to have to name my shelf set. I'll call it Work in Progress on Calc Library. And I'll say added subtract method. And I'll go ahead and shelve that. Now let's say somebody just walked into my office and said, Clemory, can I see that file in its original state before you started to make any modifications? It's also very easy for me to do. I can simply right-click on the file and say, undo any pending changes. And at this point, I have the file back in its original state. Now, let's say it's later on and I've got some time from home and I wanted to continue where I sort of left off when I shelved this file. I can very easily go and say, unshelve my pending changes. And I'm presented with a dialog of all the shelf sets on the Team Foundation Server. And I will select the one that's appropriate, and I will unshelve that. And there I have the file as it was when I shelved it with the changes that I'm busy working on. Now let's say I've played around some more, I've done some testing, I feel comfortable with the change, can very easily go ahead and check in this change. And you'll notice in the check-in dialog that my comment was automatically brought forward for me from the shelf set. So it saves me a little bit of time, I don't have to retype that all over again. So Team Foundation Server is much more than just state-of-the-art version control. You also get build automation and integrated work item tracking, work items being tasks, bugs, and requirements. You can use Team Foundation Server to set up a continuous integration build with quality gates and the gated check-in feature. And I guess a way to think about this is think about build automation and continuous integration as going beyond building with F5. And you can use Team Foundation Server to set up these continuous integration builds. And to think about continuous integration, think of it as a way to find problems sooner, to bring your code together, find dependencies, and see where you're at. It also closely follows the industry mantra of integrate early and integrate often. Use Team Foundation Server to configure a continuous integration build that triggers a build on each check-in. And that way, you can very quickly identify dependencies and integration issues with your code. You can also use the new gated check-in feature to control the quality, where as soon as you do a check-in, Team Foundation Server will do a build in isolation. And only once the build succeeds will your check-in be committed to the repository. You can configure rolling builds if you're finding that you're doing too many check-ins, you're being too aggressive in your check-ins and you'd rather control the frequency of the builds. And I think the important thing to understand here that this is much, much more than just compiling. This is a way for you to very easily run build verification tests so you can quickly judge the quality of your code from a technical perspective. And it's very easy to configure build automation with Team Foundation Server to suit your exact needs. So let's go back to the demo and I'll show you just how easy it is to configure a continuous integration build with Team Foundation Server. So back in Visual Studio, the first thing I'm going to do is right-click on builds and I'm going to create a new build definition. And let's call this Math System CI for continuous integration. And I'm going to go to triggers and I'm going to select the continuous integration trigger to force a build on each check-in. And the very last thing I'm going to want to do is I'm going to want to tell the build server where to drop the builds after completion. So I've got a directory on my C drive. And I'll go back and modify the application a little more. And let's call this the multiply method. And I'll go ahead and check in my change. Added multiply method. So as soon as I check this in, Team Foundation Server will fire off a build for me. I'm going to go over to Team Explorer on the right, find my Math System CI build, and I will look under the queued builds, and we'll notice that Math System CI is queued. We can see the time it was queued, the priority, who queued it, and on which build controller. And now if I wanted to get more real-time information with regards to the progress, I can simply double-click, and now I'm presented with a view that gets updated in real-time as the build is happening. I have a slider to zoom in on specific areas if I wanted to take a closer look of some of the aspects of the build. And there we see the build's just succeeded with zero errors and zero warnings. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to navigate to that folder on the C drive called Drops, find my Math System CI build, and run the application. Great. So I've just shown you how really easy it is to configure a continuous integration build from within Visual Studio. Now, post-it notes are great for remembering the milk, but they're not really great for managing a software development project. With Team Foundation Server, you get integrated work item tracking so that you can manage the tasks and work items on your product backlog. With the integrated work item tracking system, we allow you to track everything from tasks to bugs to user feedback to feature requests. And all of this is centrally stored in the Team Foundation Server repository that's easily accessible by all of the members of your team. You can get access to these work items in many different ways, completely seamlessly from within Visual Studio through the integration. No alt tab, no leaving Visual Studio. You can manage all aspects of your work items right from within that environment. And in addition, we provide full-featured bi-directional synchronization with applications such as Microsoft Excel and Microsoft Project for those members on your team that don't necessarily have Visual Studio installed on their desktops. And in addition, you can use Team Web Access to get at your work items via a web browser. So I'm going to go back to my demo now, and I'm going to show you how I will use work item tracking to manage some of the work that I want to do on my application. So the very first thing that I want to do is I want to create a new work item. And I'm going to create a task. And I'll say add new divide method. I can assign this task and I'm going to assign it to Abu, which is the role that I'm currently performing in this demo. And I'm going to assign it to an iteration. Let's pick iteration 1. And I'm going to add a description. We need to support division. I'll go ahead and save this. Jump back over to my code. And again, add another method. Call it divide. Change the implementation. And I'll go ahead and check this in. Added divide method. And you'll notice on the left-hand side, I have access to my work items. And I want to associate this check-in with the work item. I will look at all of my active tasks that have been assigned to me. And I'll see that there's a task there to add the new divide method. I'll go ahead and associate that with my check-in, and I'll mark it to resolved. I've completed the work. So then another way, of course, is to use Internet Explorer to connect to Team Foundation Server to manage your work items. So Internet Explorer will connect to Team Foundation Server. You will you'll be prompted to select the team project that you want to work with, and these team projects are the ones that I have permission to work on. And then I will land in the team portal, and you will notice that up at the top here I have access to work items, source code, and builds. And you'll notice that I have one task assigned to me that's now closed. I'm going to drill into this, to the details of this task. And I'll be presented with a user interface that's very similar to the user interface that's inside of Visual Studio. So it's all familiar to me. I'm going to update the history and say, completed the work. And updated or added the new method. And I'll go ahead and save that. Now, just a couple of things I want to point out before we leave the screen is that you also have access to all of your history down the bottom. And if you click on the All Links tab, you will have a view into which chain sets have been associated with this task. So you have full traceability between, say, a requirement and the actual changes or the code that is checked in to satisfy that requirement. So I've just shown you how easy it is to use the integrated work item tracking system to manage tasks on your product backlog. One other piece of information that I wanted to share with you today was some of the data we've seen around the installations during the beta 2 and the RC phase of Team Foundation Server. And the key thing to point out on this slide is that Windows 7 installation constitute more than 30% of the overall installations. And we're very excited about this. You've asked for this. We've made an investment to get TFS to run on client operating systems, and we're very happy to see that you are doing that. So in summary, what did we talk about today? I hope that you'll agree with me that I've dispelled the myths for why you are not already using Team Foundation Server. It is affordable, it's easy to install and configure, it runs on Windows 7, and it will protect your Visual SourceSafe investment. Team Foundation Server 2010 is state-of-the-art version control and much, much more. Thank you.